For those of you who don't know me, my name is Gal, and I have been serving in Mexico for about 7 years now. And I've been a couple different Mexico, and I think I've been first, and then Inza, and then Mexico, and then hopefully, I know if my mom, I wasn't in there, but I guess my mom just told me that Lisa said that about Spain, so I'm excited about that also, and then you guys can keep in prayer for myself and Chris. But what I wanted to start with was sometimes when I'm like sharing, I like to ask questions and stuff like that. And even though the answers seem like super simple and you're like, well, everybody else is going to say this, I'm not going to say it. Just say the answer because like it kind of like helps our minds all to think together and stuff like that. It makes it more intimate to me and not so much pressure. So I just wanted to ask you as well, the title that I'm, what I'm sharing is about ministering to missionaries. So I wanted to first just see what you guys thought the word minister means.
Get it over with.
Huh?
What? Just get it over with.
Oh. Anybody? What do you think ministry means? Helping. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's what it is. It's like, it's really is attending to the needs of someone. So when you're ministering to them, you're attending to their needs. If you're ministering to a missionary, you're attending to the needs of that missionary and also their mission. So what I wanted to look at first was who was the greatest missionary? So, what was that?
Jesus.
Yeah. A lot of us want to say Paul, because seriously, Paul, I love Paul, but like, if you really think a little bit further than that, you're like, well, what defines a missionary? A missionary is someone who, you know, leaves their homeland and comes to a foreign country, and they come with a mission, right? And that was ultimately Jesus. He left heaven. He left his throne. He came to earth, and his mission was, what was his mission? Save the world, redeem mankind, right? To redeem the world, to purchase them back. So, knowing Christ's mission as a missionary myself, and this is kind of like the foundation that I want to lay before I start talking about how to minister. I want to like make sure that we know like what is Christ's mission. If I know Christ's mission, then as a missionary, that should be my mission. And as a supporter or someone that's ministering to a missionary, that's your mission also. You're supporting that mission. You're not supporting something else that they're doing. You're supporting that specific mission. So really that, a lot of what I'm going to focus on right now is Christ's mission, which was to redeem mankind. And I wanted to read a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21. You can read along. I really like this verse because it's super clear. It shows what God did, it shows what Christ did, and it shows what he left us to do. And so, if you guys are there, then I'm going to read it. It says, starting at verse 18, it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." I love those verses. Mm-hmm. I love those verses because it's so simple. It's like, you could be like, Lord, what do you want me to do? It's like, it's so clear right there. We are God's mouth. We are pleading on Christ. We have to be reconciled to Christ. That's our mission. And if that's, that I pray that that is always my focus. And so I wanted to like talk to you guys first about the number one thing I think for myself, that's the way someone can minister to me most is through prayer. I know a lot of times we want to be like, but practically, how can I do it? How can I practically help? It's like the most practical way that you can help me is that if I know that somebody's praying for me. Because it truly, if we can understand even a tiny bit, because I know we'll never understand fully what prayer is or how prayer works. Never. I like try and like, but God, if I can't change your mind, if my prayers don't change what you, then how does this work? And I always like go back and forth, like, what is prayer for? But either way, I know that there's power in it. And so if I, like, I have a friend, Rebecca, that I know some of you guys know, because she was serving in Mexico with me when I first went out to Mexico. And I love her because I know no matter what, and I know this is my mom as well, there's just a few people in my life that I know when they tell me I'm going to pray for you, I just know for sure they're praying for me. Because I know, and I've kind of fallen into that sometimes as well, where it's like you see somebody and you're talking to them and you're like, oh, okay, well, I'll pray for you. And you walk away and not, I mean, your intention really was to pray for them, but sometimes you just totally forget. Do you know what I mean? But I love it because I know, like, Rebecca, my mom, there's certain people that it's like, I know for sure that even if I don't talk to them in a week, in 2 weeks, in a month, that I know that I'm on their mind and I'm in their prayers. Yeah. And there's, like, there's no more comfort than that, especially if you're, like, going through something or struggling or, you know, just having a hard time. It's like, to know that you have somebody behind you praying for you, there's no greater way that you could minister to a missionary than through that. Really, there's no greater way you can minister to anybody. But especially like being on the mission field, just knowing that there's somebody behind you, an individual or a church, oh my gosh, it's like, it's amazing. So I could easily just say, so pray for me, but I want to like be able to say, pray in a specific way. Do you know what I mean? Like, so as I was saying before, we know Christ's mission, which was what, again? Reading the world, right? So God has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. So your prayers, I desire and I hope that your prayers first and foremost would be reconciliation as well. So if I'm out there on the field and my heart is, Lord, minister, save these people, then I hope and I pray that you guys are behind me praying, Lord, use Rachel to minister to these people their spiritual need, which is salvation. And so I wanted to kind of read a little thing that I got from, have you guys heard of My Utmost for His Highest? Yeah. Mm-hmm. By Oswald Chambers. There was this little thing that I read, and I really, really liked it. I'm going to read it to you. It says, it's just a little portion. It was a little longer, but I kind of got the part that I really want to focus on. It says, Jesus said to them again, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. That verse is in John 20:21. It says, a missionary is someone sent by Jesus Christ just as he was sent by God. The great controlling factor is not the needs of people, but the command of Jesus. The source of our inspiration in our service for God is behind us, not ahead of us. The tendency today is to put the inspiration out in front, to sweep everything together in front of us and make it conform to our definition of success. But in the New Testament, the inspiration is put behind us and is the Lord Jesus himself. The goal is to be true to him, to carry out his plans. Personal attachment to the Lord Jesus and to his perspective is the one thing that must not be overlooked. In missionary work, the great danger is that God's call will be replaced by the needs of the people. This, honestly, I can say this is so true. To the point that human sympathy for those needs will absolutely overwhelm the meaning of being sent by Jesus. Their needs are so enormous and the conditions so difficult that every power of the mind falters and fails. We tend to forget that the one great reason underneath all missionary work is not primarily the elevation of the people, their education, or their needs, but is first and foremost the command of Jesus Christ. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So it's like, it's really easy to be out there in the mission field, and especially in another country, and you just see it right in front of your eyes constantly is the need, you know? And I'm not talking about the spiritual need. And yes, you see that too, but what you see physically is kids with no clothes running around. You know what I mean? Homes that are just like, just not even livable, what we would say, right? Just different conditions that you would be like, your heart, you just feel sympathy. And your heart right away is like, I need to build them a house, you know? Like, or I need to get the kids some clothes. Or they don't know how to read. They don't know how to write. Oh, we need to send teachers to teach them. Those things are true. I don't want you guys to get confused at all. I'm not saying that, like, those are not needs as well. But the number one, the primary need is salvation, is redemption. And so I ask you guys, pray that that remains our focus. Pray that that remains my focus from now until I die. And that that remains your focus as well. Because I don't want to get lost in doing things just to be busy or doing things just to meet needs when Christ is not the center of it and that the center is not making disciples. You know, because once someone is redeemed, the reason that they are saved is to go and make more disciples, is to go and be used who will be saved. The physical needs, they're not primary, but they are important. Mm-hmm. So, I would say how you pray for the physical needs now that we're ministering to is pray that they're done at the... try to have this image in your mind. Pray that our ministry is done at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody share one time about how whenever he's teaching, whenever he's out ministering somewhere, whenever he's out serving in different ministries, he always tries to have... picture him. He's like, I have a really good... he's a pastor in Mexico. His name is Jaime Foote, and I love listening to him. He's like, I have a really, really good imagination. He's like, and I just always imagine myself wherever I'm at, wherever I'm ministering, if it's with kids, if it's with adults, if it's with youth, if it's in a shelter, in an orphanage, wherever. He's like, I picture myself at the foot of the cross. Mm-hmm. So that whenever you look behind you, there's the cross, there's Jesus, there's your Savior. So that whenever you look around, there's those people mocking him. So that whenever you look down, you're standing in a puddle of his blood. That's, I mean, I know that's kind of graphic, but like, that's how we should be ministering. If Christ is over here and we're over there and there's our ministry and it's like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, but yeah, we're not. How did Paul say that he preached Christ? He preached Christ crucified. So it's like, that's what I want to do also. If as I'm ministering, pray for me, pray. And you know, I say me because I'm here right now as a missionary, but pray for all missionaries. If you guys are involved in supporting other missionaries, pray the same thing. This is not just, I don't want this just to be my focus. This needs to be the world's focus, because if our focus is not Christ and Christ crucified, then something's off and something's wrong. Mm-hmm. And if our focus is wrong, then what are we doing? You know? If our focus in our ministry is not preaching him and making disciples, then maybe we can meet some kind of physical need for a time. But in the end, what did we really do? If the need for eternity their need wasn't met, then I mean, it's just not the focus, you know? So pray that what we do is Jesus behind us and around us, and all that we see is Christ crucified. And I think that would be very effective. I was thinking about it, and it's like, sometimes, like I was saying a little bit ago, I struggle with, like, Lord, I want to pray, but I want to pray your will. I want to pray effectively. Don't you guys feel like that sometimes? Like, we don't know how to pray. Like, let's say, you know, there's been people lately that I've been praying for healing. And even when we heard about Tracy, and I know many of you guys knew Robin Wild and stuff, it's like, we pray in our heart. It's like, Lord, healing, bring healing, you know? But it's like, in the end, you have to say, your will be done, God, because we'd be like, no, that's his will or not, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah. And you know, I think when we pray reconciliation, when we pray, Jesus, redeem mankind. There's no, that's God's number one will, you guys. He has not, there's no greater thing that you guys can pray than redeem these people that are lost. They're going to hell. It says in 2 Peter 2:9 that he doesn't will let anyone perish. Mm. He wants all to come to repentance. So as you guys pray that, you don't have to doubt one bit. Lord, am I praying your will? Or at the end, oh, I really desire that these people be saved, but your will be done. No, you guys are 100% in line with his will when you're praying for that. You know, so pray that as we minister that that's what we're doing, that our focus is redemption. And I'm sorry, maybe I repeat myself and say it over and over again, but I just feel like you can't say that enough. Just may that be in your mind, so in your heart more than anything. Lord, redeem these people and use your servants out in the field, out in other countries to redeem these people, you know? I also, something I really like to do when I'm praying for other people, and I would encourage you guys to do this as you're praying for missionaries, as you're praying for me, you know, or praying for anybody else, pray scripture. I really, really love to pray scripture for people. If you go to Colossians, there's a scripture I love, and I pray it. I pray it for people all the time. If you guys could pray this for me, I would love it. Pray it for other missionaries. Pray for your friends, your family. It's Colossians. Let me go. Colossians 1:9-12. I still hear you guys trying. So wait a second. It says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Don't you guys think that's a great prayer? Doesn't it cover everything? It covers everything. Like, when I pray, sometimes I don't know how to pray, or like I don't know what to pray for somebody, but I'm like, I just open that up and I'll pray, and I'm just like, that just covers it right there. It's like, that's everything, that they're fruitful, that they're joyful, that they're thankful, that, you know, they're increasing in the knowledge of God. I mean, if somebody prays that for me, that you couldn't minister to me in any greater way. There's many other scriptures. I think I looked up another one, or maybe I didn't put it down. But, I mean, throughout the entire Bible, there's many scriptures that you see. You see Jesus praying certain things, or telling us to pray a certain way. You see Paul many times praying certain prayers and stuff. And it's really, really cool just to find a scripture and just pray it for somebody. And that's very encouraging as well. And I would also say that another way that you can pray is just pray for boldness. I know, like as I was saying, Paul, you know, we really don't find the word missionary in the Bible, or actually at all, if you guys think about it. The word missionary is not there. But, you know, the word apostle is, which is the same thing, because apostle is someone sent out with a message, you know? And so a missionary is sent out with a message, with a mission, like I was saying. So you see the word apostle, you see Paul referring to himself as a bondservant, as a slave, as a minister. I think in the beginning of all of his letters, or even at the end sometimes, he'll say that, you know, Paul, a bondservant of Christ. So just so you know, if you're like, well, I don't see the word missionary in the Bible, it's there, you know, and not just Paul, but like many other people in the Bible, they were ministers and apostles and people that were sent on a mission for Christ. So there's many missionaries in the Bible, and but I'm referring to Paul because I really, really admire him. And in Ephesians chapter, I'm sorry, I want to read Colossians. Colossians 4, 2 through 3, he was telling the church to pray for boldness for them. Which is kind of crazy, because if you guys think of Paul as a missionary, like he was bold. I don't know if you guys have read through Acts or just different books that Paul has written. It's like, sometimes he says things and you're like, oh my gosh, Paul, they're going to stone you right now. And they do sometimes, you know, like they have stoned him. They did, I mean. But it's like, you see him asking for boldness. Do you know what I mean? So it's like, some missionaries may look bold because they go out to some crazy places and are just ministering in crazy areas. But believe me, they're fearful, I'm sure. Even myself, like going to Acapulco, I was scared. I was super scared. I was just like a white girl with blonde hair. Like, I was really scared. I really was. But that doesn't stop you. It doesn't mean that when you go, your fear goes away. It's like, oh, yeah, I know, or I'm not afraid. No, you really, there's reality. It's like, okay, well, something really could happen. Things do happen, you know? So it's like, you do need to pray for boldness for people in places that seem like, oh, well, if they're there, they must not be afraid. No, I'm sure they are. It is scary. So, and even Paul, who seems like just crazy bold, is asking for boldness. So I want to read Colossians 4, 2 through 3. It says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains. That one wasn't about the boldness one, but there's another one in Ephesians where he says the same thing about pray for an open door and pray for boldness. So both things I would encourage you guys as you're praying, just to kind of narrow your prayer down and pray more specifically, pray for boldness, pray for open doors for the gospel to be preached. And then I want to say just also pray for strength and for faith, you know. And I remember, I really like how we see in the Bible where Jesus prayed for Peter. Remember when he tells him, you know, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. Mm-hmm. But then what does he say at the end? I have prayed for you.
You know what I mean? Jesus prayed for him. That's so cool. But yet, I mean, we know that Jesus is also before God interceding for us. But what I'm trying, what my point is that Jesus prayed for his faith. And as missionaries also, like, we all live by faith. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith. So every single one of us in this room, missionary or a sender, we live by faith. But really, it's really different when you're on the mission field and you are, your faith is put to practice a little more, I would say. I'm not trying to say that you guys don't live by faith at all. I mean, I know there's like, in many ways, God, we're all, our faith is all tested and allowed to be grown more. But over there, you know, sometimes you're just like, I don't know. Like, I went to Acapulco not knowing where I was going to live. I was thinking I was going to, like, sleep on the floor in the church building for 6 months, and I was totally fine with that, you know? And so it's like, you just kind of, like, you just go with the flow. It's like, oh, we're going over here, okay. You know, oh, we're going over here, oh, all right. Oh, I'm moving tomorrow, okay, you know? Like, it's just like, seriously, Bethany knows. I love it because she's in here and she can testify. It's like, you just, seriously, I mean, sometimes, like, I said about moving really quickly because sometimes, I remember we were living with this other, in Acapulco, the first month that we were there, we were living with this older lady that the Lord totally just opened up the door that we can live with her. It was crazy. We were praying because Bethany was coming and Candace was coming, and it was like we couldn't all live with us on a seat, so there wasn't enough room. We had a really small apartment, and we were just like, are we going to live, Lord? You know, we don't want to live far because we're three girls by ourselves, and yeah, we need a place, we need our privacy, how's this going to work out and stuff, and then just God just totally opened up this door where we can live with this lady that lived in the same apartment area as Hassan and Stacy. And so we lived with her for like a month, and then all of a sudden, and I, in my mind, like, and I told her also, we plan on staying here with you till December. And like one day Hassan like comes up to us and says, Stacy and I are considering, we want to move. We found a place. It was like they had already found the place. They already talked to somebody, and it was perfect. They were going to live on the top floor, and then we were going to live on the bottom floor, and it was like a separate house and stuff. And I was just like, oh, okay. And we seriously, what? We packed our bags in like half an hour, and we're out that same the next day. And it was just like, it was so cool, though, to be able to be like, we had our own rooms and stuff like that, and then everything was like set out, all of our stuff was there, and then it's like, pack it up, and I'm sorry, we're not going to stay here till December, we're leaving, we're going a half an hour away somewhere over here, because the church building was moving and all that stuff. So what I'm saying is just like, you live by faith, it's like, oh, it's time to go, okay, let's go, you know? And so sometimes that could be like, you know, it tests your faith, those things. It's like, Lord, do you really want me to go? You know, like, it's like, just pray for our faith. Pray that our faith would be strengthened and that we would continue to live by faith. And sometimes you're just like, I don't know how to pay, you know, where's this money going to come from to pay this? I know you guys experience that as well, I'm sure. Or how are we going to buy groceries this time? I mean, how many times were we just like, how are we going to buy groceries? And yet God provided, and we're just like, okay, you know, it's like, you live by faith. You just live every little thing. You live by faith. The water's out for 3 weeks. It's like, well, so it's okay, God, send rain, you know, like, we wash the dishes in the rain and stuff. It's just cool things. It's like, we need faith, though. We need more faith. So pray that God strengthens our faith and that we just keep going and, yeah. And then I wanted to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, because this is kind of like the result of your prayers. It's really, really cool. I think 2 Corinthians 1, if not, then it's first. It's 2 Corinthians 1. It says, I want to read verses 3 through 11. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, his authority, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you will partake of the consolation. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia,
But we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, and had the sentence of death in ourselves. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given to many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. So basically, like, they were going through a really hard time and suffering, and Paul is saying, like, as you suffered alongside of us, so also you're going to partake in our victory. You know what I mean? So it's like, as you guys are praying for me, as you guys are praying for the missionaries out on the field and the things that we're going through, and for faith and for strength and for all of these things that I've been talking about, when you see these things happen, when these things come about, you guys, not only do we rejoice, but you guys also rejoice with us. Don't you guys agree with that? I mean, hasn't that happened not just as praying for missionaries, but praying for somebody else, a friend? Let's say you have a friend that was going through a hard time, and you guys are both praying together for a certain thing, and then you see your prayer answered. Mm-hmm. She's not the only one giving glory to God. Aren't you there with her saying, thank you, God? You know, like, you both. And so at the end, I like this verse right here in 11. I'll read it again. It says, you also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. Mm-hmm. By many persons, don't we want that? Don't we want God to be glorified and thanked by many persons? You know what I mean? Isn't that so cool? So I really like that a lot. So that's the result of your prayers, you know, that God is glorified through many. And it's so crazy that you could be over here and somebody can be in another country, yet God is being glorified through the same thing because you are partaking in their sufferings and in their victory. And it's really cool. And then I want to talk just really shortly about ministering practically. And I wanted to, one of the practical ways you can minister is through financial support. And I wanted to read Philippians chapter 4, verse 10 through 20. I didn't realize a lot of verses I have are like 10 verses long. Sorry, guys. Philippians 4, where'd it go? Philippians 4. 10 through 20, I still have a pen over there. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so that's kind of the same idea as prayer. When we share financially with somebody, Paul is saying, he's like, I don't seek the gift. I seek the reward that you're going to get. You know, he's like, I've learned how to have much, and I've learned how to have little. I've learned to be content in all things. But I seek the reward that you guys will gain. And then it says, I like it right here in the verse 18. It says, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. That's what it is. When we give, And also the Bible tells us how we're to give. We're supposed to give out of being a cheerful giver, you know? And so God sees our heart, and we give cheerfully. And then the Lord gives us back more than we can ever have given, you know? So it's really cool. And then again, he says, and my God shall supply all your needs. And I think it's funny how he, or not funny, but kind of cool how he puts that verse with the giving verse.
Because as you give, sometimes it's like, it's a sacrifice. It's not like, oh, let me, sometimes it's not giving out of your abundance, it's giving out of your savings, you know? You're little, you're nothing maybe. But right after that, he's like, give because it's a sweet smelling aroma to God. And don't forget, God's gonna supply what you need, you know? So it's really, really cool. What was the next thing? Also, I just wanted to say that I know for missionaries, every little bit counts. I know for myself, when I thought of, like, giving to people as well, it's like sometimes you think, oh, I only have this little bit. I only have this $10. Should I, you know, it's nothing. I'm not going to give it. How embarrassing. I can't give only $10. It's like, you don't even know. Like, $10 is like, that's gas money. That's like, that'll get you through. Do you know what I mean? Like, and sometimes in other countries, $10 goes a lot further. Right now, my friend Chris, he's over in Nicaragua, and he said that you can buy like a full-on meal. He's like, I got a steak, and he just named like a whole meal that he got. It sounded super good. He's like, I paid $2.50 for it. Wow. You know, so your $10 goes a long way if you think about it. We're not used to that here, but it really does go a lot further. And God stretches things. You know, so you give your little, and God is just like. And it just like increase. It increases, you know what I mean? So don't hesitate in that. If you're like, oh, I only have a little bit, God will bless it, you know? And every little bit counts. It makes a difference. And also just being like, I know I've been blessed many, many times when I got back from Acapulco, my glasses were so messed up and so scratched, and somebody blessed me with a new pair of glasses. And it was just like, that's like, also when you're ministering to a missionary, it's good to know specific needs that they have. You know, maybe you can't practically, like, support them full-time every month. But if you find out, like, she found out that I needed glasses. And so she got me glasses. And it was such a blessing. Oh, my God, I could see clearly. It's just so good. So it's like when you find out specific needs. And that comes through also knowing them and keeping in contact with them and stuff. And so as you do that, you see, oh, okay, maybe I can't do this all year long. But one time, you know, this person needs this, or they need that, and I'm not always referring, please don't think I'm always referring to myself. There's missionaries all over the world that have tons and tons and tons of needs. You know, I'm so blessed, so I'm not, like, just referring to myself. I'm referring to all over the world, you know? It's a blessing when specific needs are met, so just keep that in mind. And then also just encouraging, just a way to minister also is just to encourage through an email, you know, through a note. When I was also, there's been many times when I've been in different places, specifically when I was in the summer in Acapulco, some of the Bible college that I was at took a mission trip down there, and they brought me, like, just a little care package, just little things, like someone brought me Nutella, you know, I love Nutella, just, like, eat it with a spoon, and the cards from the school, and just people signed it and stuff, and just something so little, like, But it was just, like, so refreshing to me. It was so comforting. So it's, like, even little things like that, it really, really means a lot. A lot. So that, like, that's encouraging through an email or through just calling them and say, hey, you need prayer? You're on my heart. You need prayer? Sometimes, like, doesn't that ever happen to you sometimes when the Lord puts someone on your heart, but you're just like, well, what if this is not you, Lord? What if it's just me thinking? It's like, if it's something positive, do you really think the devil wants you to call somebody and encourage them and pray for them? No. No. That's God. If God put them on your heart and you're doubting that, don't doubt it. Just call them. God wants you to call them. God wants you to pray for them, you know? So, because I know that's happened to me before. I'm like, Lord, is this you? And it's like, duh, you know? Like, it's God. So, let's see. And then also, I know there's some missionaries. My family lives in California, so I come back and I can stay with them, and I have, you know, many people here as well. But, you know, there's some missionaries that come back and they don't have a place to stay. So if you know people that are coming back, you know, on furlough or coming for a visit for the holidays or something, offer your house. You know, the Bible tells us many times to be hospitable. And so offer your house. You want to stay in my house for a couple days and you serve them. You know, they're out serving all the time. So when they come back, you serve them. And it's such a gift to you. It's so exciting to do that, you know. It's not like, oh, I have to serve. It really is just great. You know, it's a gift to be able to do that for them. And then just I wanted to talk about also another great way to minister is going and visiting them part-time. You know, that's really, really cool to be able to, like, take a trip and you kind of, you're, it's not, then what you then what you're hearing all the time, because maybe there's updates from church or different things or newsletters that you get, and you're hearing about it, but you don't fully know the places that they're talking about or the people that they're talking about. But when you actually go and you take a trip, like I know Randy went down there and stuff, and it's like, now when I talk about Sylvia, or I talk about Hoyas, or I talk about, you know, different places, or the church building that we had at first, or this and that, it's like, you, doesn't that an image comes to your mind when you pray for that place? I'm sure that you, you know, it just helps. It's just really, really cool to have like an actual image in your mind. So if the Lord allows you to, could take a trip, go visit, you know, be a part in that way as well, and go serve alongside them. And that's super, super encouraging. It's encouraging for you, but it's also encouraging for them, because you just, it's like, it's like a piece of home with you, you know, and it's really, really cool. And as I like, that's why I want to start with prayer as well, because God has called us all to prayer. You know, we're all called to serve, to minister to missionaries in different way, in different ways, but the number one thing that we all can do is we're all called to pray. All of us. So what's cool is as you pray, God will tell you, God will show you, support them in this way. You know, send them an email. Go take a trip over there. Like, the Lord will show you, but it's as you start to pray for them, He'll stir your heart, you know? And what I wanted to kind of close on is, even at the end, sometimes like the Lord could send you. So be available to that as well. Do you know what I mean? And something that I wanted to read is in Luke 10, verse 2. When I was in the missions conference here back in January. It was really cool. Like, they read this verse, and I was just thinking about it. And it wasn't even their main, like, focus or anything on this verse, if someone turned to it. But God just really grabbed my attention, because it's like, like I was telling you earlier about, sometimes like there's specific prayers in the Bible and it's really great to be able to pray specifically. But what's even better is when Jesus tells you to pray something, there's like, there's no doubt. It's like, okay, you want me to pray this for sure then, you know? Like, I'll read the verse and then I'll talk some more. it says, Luke 10 to 2. It says, well, I'm going to read chapter 1 also. Or verse 1, I mean. Okay, yeah. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face, into every city and place where he himself was about to go. It says, then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Mm-hmm. So also, that's like another prayer that you can add is, Lord, send more people out. I mean, how often do I pray that, I think? Like, how often do I pray, send more people out, God? I mean, it's good, like I was saying, pray for those who are out. But we need more people out there. Do you know what I mean? So pray for more people to go out, because the harvest, what does it say? Like, the harvest is great, you know, but the laborers are few. There's few. And when you're by yourself, it's like, it's a little bit hard. The work is a little bit hard, but when you have somebody else beside you, and even you see Paul also, I keep referring back to him, but like, you'll see Paul many times say, like, you know, my spirit was in distress, but you sent this person, and he comforted me, and he encouraged me, and he'll say that many times. And also, you know, there's people that he took along with him. Like, you'll find that, I think it's, I don't remember what chapter it is in Acts, but Timothy goes along with him, and it's like, how encouraging. And even for myself, it's really cool how God has always sent someone with me. You know, like, I had my friend Christina who went down to Mexico with me at first, and then Rebecca, who was someone, like, I already talked about her a little bit earlier, she came down and was there. And it's like, you go think you're going to be alone, but yet God always brings somebody with you, and he knows you need it. You know, it's super encouraging to have somebody alongside of you that has the same mind and the same, you know, heart and stuff like that. And that's a gift from God. And then, you know, when I went to school, and then now, when I went to Acapulco, the Lord sent Bethany and Candace, and I truly thought I was going to be, I went with a son of Stacy, and I knew I was going to be with them, but, you know, I wanted somebody that was, like, more my age also and stuff, and I was like, Lord, and I just thought I was going to be by myself, and he sent them. That was God. Like, I know God sent them for me. Yes, he sent them to use them there, but God also specifically sent them to minister to me, and that's so cool, you know, so be willing also, like, if the Lord is calling you, or if you feel like the Lord is calling somebody else, encourage them. Give them that push, you know what I mean? But know that also, it's a calling. The Lord, it's a calling to go on the mission field. And it's a calling to send people that are going on the mission field, to support people. So whatever your calling is, be obedient to it. You know, if the Lord is calling you to support somebody, through prayer, through any kind of support, obey him. Do it. You know what I mean? Like, I love the whole theme of the retreat, and I mean, I love what Tony was saying yesterday. He's like, there's no other purpose in this life. Right. I always think that, like, what are we living for? Like, there's nothing else. If we're not living for Jesus, then what are we doing? I think that sometimes, like, if I'm not doing something for you, God, like, why am I here on this earth then? Right? Don't you guys agree? So it's like, if God has called you to serve him and his missionaries in a certain way, then do it. You know, be obedient to that. And if he's called you to go, be obedient to that as well. Because, you know, it's like, I remember when the Lord was, I say it's a calling because I know it is. Because anytime I've tried to do something else, like even thought to do something else, I just, it doesn't feel right. You know, and even if I was like, I remember when I first graduated from high school and I didn't even know what I was going to do. And I was thinking about going to like some school for like interior design. And even though fully, I just felt always in my heart, like, and I didn't know it was missions. I didn't have any idea. I'd gone on mission trips and stuff, but I never thought like missionary, you know? But I remember thinking like, trying to like start to go to that school and stuff, and just like in my heart, just feeling like, this is not what you want me to do, God. Like, it just felt so like wrong, and not wrong for other people, but just wrong for me. It was just like, this is not it. This is not what you want me to do. And as I started to do that, I remember I took one last trip in the summer to Mexico with a youth group, and when I was in the high school group, I had just graduated, and then I took the last trip with them. And I remember there, the Lord just called me. And I know it sounds so extreme, but the one thing I remember is thinking, like, I want to get my head chopped off for God. Like, that's the only thing I can remember is, like, the sentiment, like, I'm not going to school. I just want to go die for you. Like, that's all I can remember, you know? And I don't know if I want to get my head chopped off anymore. But, like, I just knew he was calling me. And so even me trying to do something else, trying to just, okay, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to go this way, the Lord pulled me back, you know? And it's happened a couple times where it's like, I don't know what I'm doing now, God, and he pulls me back. And it just reminds me over and over again, this is your calling, this is your calling, this is your calling. So that's one thing, that if the Lord is calling you guys to missions, it'll be obvious. You'll know it. And because you'll know when you're disobeying him. If you're close to the Lord, you'll hear him saying, this is, what you're doing is wrong. You're in disobedience, and you just constantly feel it. You could try to go your own way, but you'll know he's calling you over there, and you'll sense that disobedience. And so that's kind of what I wanted to share with you guys in close. Let's pray.